100 days on the place, yeah, man. It's a kick it, you know. That's right.
Yeah, me rolling and rock it to the beat, and me love the sound.
Oh, Chess, you can mess with the sound. Better grab your girl, your posse, and gather round.
Yeah, me rolling and bobbing and going like a mad man. Oh, the man got the sweet day off and 19 no long, so me say.
Hey, it's Digital Sista, and I'm back for my 49th podcast. Can you believe it? One more next week, and it will be 50. Unbelievable. But anyway, I had to share with you that once again, for the second time, Digital Sista made one of the four most active podcasts, again, earlier this month in January. So I thank you all so much for tuning in, for listening, and for spreading the word around and passing the podcast around to your friends, because that's quite a feat to make the four most active podcasts a month apart. The first time was in November, second time in January. And you know how many podcasts there are out there in the world. So to register on the map to be one of the four most active twice, to get 169 downloads overnight back in December, and to the point now where downloads are something like 30 and 40 a pop, you know, consistently. So I really thank you all so much for really putting Digital Sista on the map. And when I check some of the other listings where I also at, like in Podcast Alley and things like that, I'm pretty up there. So I thank you very much for making that all happen. Without you, there is no me. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? Anyway, I just recently purchased a digital voice recorder that I'm going to be able to utilize for my interviews to help, you know, spice up the podcast and continue to make it interesting and, you know, like I said, just spice it up a little bit more. But as a matter of fact, as that is one of my goals for 2007 to add interviews to the podcast, I got a request from someone that I interviewed on my show. I won't drop any names just yet, but she had a request because she wants me to interview a rapper that she is representing. And as it turns out, I have my first interview for the podcast scheduled for January 27th, and I'm going to see how that goes. But it turns out that this rapper is very much an up-and-coming person who's related to another famous rapper that you all know about. And the rapper that I'm going to have a chance to interview is going to be appearing on BET's 106 Park. And that's going to be very, very, very good. So I'm very excited about that. It's very exciting. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about him once I actually, you know, go through this process, because I don't want to jinx it yet, because that will be my actual first interview for the podcast. But it's somebody up and coming, and it's somebody you're all going to love listening to. And I've also scheduled him to be on my radio show on February 20th. So you have a chance to hear him on the podcast, and you have a chance to hear him on my show, Demystifying Nonprofits. So I'm not going to tell you anything about his name just yet. I'm going to have you just stay tuned and continue to tune in so that you will learn about it too. But I'm very excited as I put that new piece together for the podcast. So stay tuned. It's going to be very, very exciting and very fun to add more things to the podcast and to keep you coming back and listening and, you know, spreading the word around. Now, I just got an email that apparently Senator Obama Barack from Illinois is putting together the exploratory campaign, you know, for the presidential race. This is what all of the, I think, serious presidential candidates do. They form this exploratory committee to, you know, put feelers out there in terms of how they're going to raise money and things like that. I think it's going to be an interesting addition to the presidential race. I think he brings something fresh and new to the public discourse on politics. And I think, you know, he could be the person at the right time to really at least cut through and make people look at things a little differently. I think people are just clamoring for a public official that is connected to the average person, who's not a gazillionaire, who's out of touch with, you know, the common people. I think people are just really clamoring for leadership. They're clamoring for someone that has a fresh vision for this country. They're just clamoring for something new. And I think that's what he may bring to the whole political campaign as it gets underway for the 2008 election. I just think he's going to be the breath of fresh air that maybe gets people to come out and do something, however you decide to vote. I think people are just tired of the same old thing, the same old people in both parties that have a lot of baggage, who haven't really distinguished themselves as potential leaders for this country. And I think Obama represents something different. And I'm going to take it another level, as you know I always do with Digital Sister. But I think he also represents a new face and the future of how things are going to be. Because, as I've said many, many times in previous podcasts, the complexion of the world is changing, the issues of the world are changing, and a lot of the issues that are happening are coming out of international quarters. And I think we need a president in the future who can step out and reach across humanity and speak to different types of people. I think people are tired of the same old thing, which is rehashed people from other administrations who just come back and come back because they're career politicians, so to speak. But I think Barack offers something different, and I hope that people give him a chance, and I hope that you know, I just hope he gets a good shot without any, you know, possible problems. But I think he can be a new voice for the future, and I think the country is just clamoring, looking for new leadership. And I think the world community is looking at the United States for a different type of leadership. The old warmongers, the old Cold War, old men, you know, from World War II, I think that had its place. But I think the future president of this country needs to embody something else. And the president also needs to be one who can embrace many different types of cultures. And how interesting, you know, that would be if Barack makes it into the final throes of the campaign, if he really, you know, makes it that far. And that's something I think the country's going to have to wrestle with. Will we embrace change that obviously is coming, and it has been coming for many years, or will the United States as a whole hang on to the old world order? And you know what I'm saying, because I don't like to rant and rave too much about that, but are they going to hang on to the old world order with the same old men, warlords, you know who I'm talking about, who just kind of spew out the same kind of stuff? Because they're going to be looking for policies and, you know, bills that, that really, thank their big donors and their big business donors. And I think that is something that people would like to see change. We're getting a little tired of these gazillionaires who are out of touch with reality, but who claim to speak, you know, for the middle class, because that's mostly where the majority of people are in this country. The majority are not that top 1%, okay? So I think he opens up a fresh discourse, and it will be very interesting to see how the media treats him and how I think the public treats him. But he's getting warm receptions in New Hampshire, which has got to be like the liliest state ever. So, you know, people are receptive. So I think people are receptive for change, and people are looking for something a little different. And he just might be the candidate who delivers that, which I think will be very, very exciting. Now, let me just move on and talk a little bit about, before we get into some other things, let me talk a little bit about Dr. King's legacy. I can't believe that he would be 78 years old had he not been assassinated. It's just really, really incredible to just see how much time has gone by. But I think it's wonderful that that, of course, he has the holiday, and many of the news media do it, at least acknowledge it. But you still have plenty of businesses who, you know, don't necessarily want to give their employees, you know, that one day, but we give them to other days. I heard something, a caller calling in on Tom Joyner, who was saying that Pat Robertson, who is the evangelical leader of the 700 Club and his broadcasting, Christian Broadcasting Network, who was talking about the special day and how they were raising money for the special day yesterday, but they never acknowledged or said the special day was Dr. Martin Luther King's federal birthday. And so I wondered, as Tom Joyner wondered, well, what were they raising money for if they wouldn't even acknowledge what the day was? So what we have here is people who still have an issue with an African American, a great African American, given that kind of honor and respect. And let's face it, I mean, Dr. Martin Luther King did something big with this whole issue of nonviolence, and it's something that that he got from Mahatma Gandhi, but it was a philosophy that he lived and believed in until his very death. And I mean, really, except for the fact of, yes, you have the Christian Broadcasting Network, but I don't see any long-lasting effect that you're doing towards nonviolence. I mean, Pat Robertson is someone who, from time to time, you know, gets the news and the media ways by saying that God told him to, you know, assassinate certain world leaders. I think it was Hugo Chavez and, you know, some Middle Eastern, probably Osama bin Laden, something like that. But, I mean, this is a man who says he gets these messages and hears these voices from God to tell him to do these things. And so, you know, I just think, oh my gosh. But he is the type of so many types that will never, or they can't acknowledge the greatness of Dr. King, and they won't, you know, give the man his due, you know, some 38 years even after he was assassinated, for the great work that he did and for the inspiring work that he did to change the face of this nation, to change the face of how some groups within their own country were treated, and just really to take a philosophy that should be considered all around the world. Because what if some of these factions who are fighting in the name of Allah, in the name of whomever, would just stop and think about what they could do with nonviolence? I mean, that is the message that Dr. King had, and that is the message that has been lost with all of these wars and all of the things that are going on. It's the message of nonviolence. It's the message that we should be learning how to work together and to solve some things rather than to be at war with each other. Because We only have one planet. You know, there's so many wars going on around this world, and we only have one planet. I don't know what else to say. And at some point, you know, it has to stop. All of these wars have to stop. And the leaders who decide that they want to do these things have to stop. So it would be very wonderful if our leaders in this country, if they didn't just give lip service to nonviolence, but if they actually sat down and tried to figure out a way to resolve things without the guns, without the bloodshed. Because that's when you're going to have, I think, long-lasting peace. Not just putting band-aids on situations. It would be wonderful if the Israeli-Palestinian conflict could, you know, deal with this. And if all these conflicts, if people could really, at the very heart, just get down to nonviolence, forget about turf wars and all these issues, but if we could just deal with the issue of nonviolence, I think the world would just be a better place. And if people could just stop for a moment and think about what Dr. King taught, what his message was. It wasn't just for African Americans. He taught a message of nonviolence that could be utilized all around the world if we would take the initiative to do that rather than to force, you know, whether it's our rules or our way of living or our philosophy or what we feel is democracy on other people. We have to stop and think about what his message was and then actively figure out a way to carry it out, and not only just through lip service. So I think, you know, his message is timely. I'm thankful that there's a holiday to even bring up the message of nonviolence, at least just one day that we think about it and talk about it. And hopefully that's going to spur us on to make the rest of the 300 and plus days left in the year to actually put this into practice and maybe change the outcomes for some of the situations that are going on. So please, if you're out there and listening, you world leaders, please don't take Dr. King's words in vain. Don't just give lip service, but actually sit down and study what he talked about and then apply it to your negotiations with other countries. Apply it to your dealings with other people from different cultures. Apply it to people in your neighborhood or at your school or in your workforce that may not look like you, but you're working together as a whole. Apply it in your everyday life so that it's not just some big, lofty goal that we just talk about with lots of cameras, you know, once a year. Make it a daily practice to do something that furthers Dr. King's belief in nonviolence. And I think that will change some things if we could all just do that and not resort to the same tactics that we use, which causes conflict and plunges countries into civil war. Oh my gosh, looks like Diana Ross, yes, the original Dream Girl, the original diva, is back out with her first studio album in like 7 years. I can't believe it's been that long, but yes, it really has been that long. I can't believe she's 62 years old, but again, it's just amazing how quickly time flies. But apparently she's got a new CD out, a new album called out, I Love You, and it's a mixture of some old standards and one or two original songs, but from what they're saying, reviews are good, and they're saying she can still, you know, string a song together, and that they would have loved to have heard maybe more original songs to really bring out her style and the maturity that her voice has at this point in time. So I'm just glad to see that she's still out there putting her thing down and putting out some music. You know, give these little divas out here, these one-hit wonders, something to really aspire to. Because we have to ask them, you know, you're 20-something years now, you know, doing your little crunk music and all that. But are you going to be around 30 or 40 years later when you're 62 years old and still putting out good music? I doubt it. So all you little divas, take heed of the real diva, the one and only Diana Ross. Hopefully pick that up and check it out. Now, what is up with James Brown and his family, the godfather of soul? I mean, please bury this man. I can't believe they have him laying in his house in a climate-controlled room while the family and Tommy Ray squabbles. I don't even think Tommy Ray's involved. Let me take her out of it. But while the family is squabbling about what to do, you know, and where to bury him. It's just, it's kind of embarrassing, and I'm not even a member of the family, but my God, he was the godfather of soul. He had three services for him, and yet, after all the hoopla, you take him back to his house and leave him in his house because the family can't come together and figure out where this man should be place to rest in peace. Now, if he was born in Augusta, and that's where the Augusta Stadium is named after him, I mean, why can't he be buried in Augusta? Is somebody else saying he needs to be in Atlanta? Well, maybe that's not really where his roots were. Maybe Augusta is really the place that he should be. And so I hope that the family will get it together and, you know, bury the axe and just put this man and let him rest in peace and be done with it. Because you see, apparently there was a lot of stuff going on in the family even before he passed away. And unfortunately, it's carrying over even after he's passed away. So please, family, get it together and please put this man in his final resting place, because you're making the family look really, really bad. Okay? Please bury him soon. Now, here's a little something that I ran across which could be helpful to you if you run across people and you're not sure if they're lying or not. Well, some of the things that you want to look at, they're impulses. That's what they are. You want to look for someone avoiding eye contact with you, which is probably the most common giveaway that someone's like telling you a whopper. It also can include if someone's talking and they start, you know, placing their hand over their mouth, or maybe they touch their nose or scratch their ear or neck, or they abruptly change the pattern of their speech. So pay attention to that too, because that is the sign that someone's not being on the up and up with you. Now, a good liar can really mask all those impulses to the point where you'll never be able to figure out if they're telling the truth or not. But if you run across somebody like that, the thing that you can fall back on is your gut. So listen to your gut and keep an eye out for any slight beads of sweat on the forehead or above the lip. That's how you can tell when people are lying. So it's a good way to start the year out as you're coming in contact with new people or just running into old friends. You know, just keep your eye open so that you know exactly what is going on. Well, let me see what else is going on here today. Ooh, yes, you know what? I'm counting down for the trip to Africa. It's only about, almost 10, 12 days from now, so I'm really excited. I got everything. I'm just finishing up my last little bits of shopping, so that's going to be very, very cool. And also on a note, just stay tuned on January 30th, because I have the great fortune of I'm going to interview Jerry Heller. Yes, music industry super agent and Ruthless Records co-founder, Jerry Heller. So please, please tune in for my show on demystifying nonprofits on Tuesday, January 30th, to hear me interview Jerry Heller. That is going to be so cool and so exciting. Well, in any event, I think that's about all my news for now. Just keep tuning in, keep passing the podcast around, and keep tuning in as I start weaving interviews into the podcast. I will look forward to hearing your comments, and I look forward to just hearing from you. So anyway, this is it for now. Digital Sister signing out. Have a great week.
I'm gonna go to the house.